Good morning, kids. Let's not waste any time. It is time again for the latest Pinch Hitter podcast. Terence, how are we doing?
Now then, doing well. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Very well indeed, thank you. Just eager to pod, eager to get chatting.
Yes, mate. I mean, there's been plenty of weather around this week, but if there's one thing the weather can't stop, it's pod.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one thing we're not going to talk about is bad light, how the ICC needs to clamp down on it, and how rain is the scourge of cricket. We'll leave that to the other pods.
Can we talk about it a bit?
Whenever you want. Let's kick off with it. Let's go with it. What do you want to say? Get it off your chest.
All I want to talk about is
all it is
some of the harebrained schemes to get rid of the issue of bad light and the issue of rain. We've heard this week Michael Vaughan suggesting that the floodlights need to be brighter. We've heard roofs being suggested.
Yeah, all for that.
Chinese style manipulation of rain clouds.
Mm-hmm.
All on BBC. And we've heard the balls being slightly different.
Warnie come up with any good ideas on Sky?
No, nothing from Warnie on Sky. In Warnie's defence, I didn't pay a huge amount of attention to the Sky coverage this week, it being reduced to one day while I was at work.
Fair enough. Yeah,
didn't scream tuning in, but yeah, just really good to see some kind of flat Earth style suggestions on how we should be dealing with the darkness and the rain.
Flat Earth, 5G, non-face mask wearing suggestions for how to deal with it all. And the best bit being that wasn't it? This is only the third test match in something like 38 or 43 in England that's ended in a draw. Yeah,
more. Just the stat that Mark Butcher absolutely wet himself when he discovered was that in the last 3 years there's been more prime ministers than test draws, I believe.
And he loved that, didn't he? Did he get the guitar out and make a song about it?
There's a single on the way, I believe.
Single on the way. Excellent. Great to hear from Butch. So we're not going to talk about the rain. Nope. We're not going to talk about the about bad light. Just giving it a tiny little bit of airtime, but that's fine. It's not going to get any more. Let me tell you where I want to start.
Go on.
And we often talk about how one of our favourite websites or web pages, I said web page earlier, I felt really kind of granddaddy saying that, but is the list of England Test cricketers Wikipedia page. It's just beautiful. You get there, you obviously the names, the cap numbers, the when they started. Final test, all the details on one page, which is beautiful. Which what more can you want? However, what a page which I did dip into earlier this year and then dipped into particularly over the last week is one from our good friends at Crick Info. This one being the most consecutive matches missed for a team
in between
appearances. Now, obviously, we're bringing up this because of our good friend Fawad Alam. Fawad Alam, very good. Who, as we know, made his return to Test cricket last week after he hadn't been picked since 28th of November 2009, in spite of the fact, I think, that he averaged 60 or something. Which should have done it. And you think he might have been given a go at some other stage. Yeah.
But what's interesting is that, and I think it popped up in our WhatsApp group, actually, was everyone going, how on earth has he not been picked? And then as soon as he came in and set himself up at the crease, everyone went, oh, that's
took
out.
His guard.
that's out. Yep, that makes
that's
sense.
That's how. But are you familiar with this page? Are you on this site regularly, Terence? This particular bit.
It's one of the niche kind of buried Crick Info records pages. It's always nice to kind of spend
it's great.
Spend some time procrastinating.
Yeah, I mean, just a few headlines. Just obviously, we all know that Gareth Batty is top with 142 tests missed. And then second is Martin Bicknell, who missed 114 tests between August 93 and then August 2003. The thing I love about Gareth Batty being on this list is you'd think that his final test before the big break would have been away in the West Indies when Lara made his 400 or something like that. But no, he actually played for England in the summer of 2005. Obviously, he didn't play in the Ashes, but he played against Bangladesh in those two tests where
Yeah.
we absolutely housed
When
them.
Ian Bell inexplicably scored about
Got picked.
160, yeah, and then
Yeah.
that was it, yeah.
And that knocked off Graham Thorpe. So Gareth, I love the fact that his last game before his absence was 5th of June 2005. But amongst a million other great things on this page, and when I say a million, even there's not a million things, there literally are a million great things on there. From the fact that you got Liam Plunkett, you've got Ryan Sidebottom, you've got our good friend Tim Payne,
Yeah.
who went 78 tests. But I think my favorite part of it is that Fred Titmuss appears on it twice.
That is brilliant.
How good is that? So, bearing a bit of context, the bottom of the list is 50 tests missed.
So is your
The
good friend
first,
Colton Barr?
Colton Barr and equal with Peter Such and A Ward, who I guess isn't Ashley Ward of Bradford, Barnsley, Blackburn, and a few other North
Be
teams,
funny if
but
it was.
be great if it was. And then he bounced. That was in the 70s. But you've got Fred Titmuss, so you've got 62. So first of all, he misses 59 tests between 1955 and 1962. He then proceeds to miss 62 tests between 1968 and 1974, yet gets recalled again. How great is
How many
that?
games did he play?
He played quite a lot.
I think he's one of those players who.
But 53 tests,
You've got
53
53 tests,
tests, 153 wickets, and there's a song about him as well.
and he
So
still missed 110.
exactly.
So he played 53 out of 170 odd.
Just brilliant, isn't it? I
That's
mean, like,
fantastic.
I was trying to think, is there anyone with a similar kind of, obviously not with a similar record because they would be on this list, but like another England player who got binned off for a while, then came back, and then binned off for a while again, and then came back. Because even someone like Gary Balance, he's never been out for that long, but
No,
then
this
we
is
call him
probably his
back, or
longest stint,
Vince.
isn't he? Vince won't get that long.
Yeah.
I suppose Bell only had a couple of years, didn't
Now, he was never out for that
he?
long
No.
when he wasn't. So yeah, that I say love
That's
this page in itself.
remarkable. I feel like Fred Titmuss is one of those players who probably you hear more about, like, from how famous he is, you'd think he was a bigger deal. That makes sense.
Well, I think we need to find out more about him.
Yeah.
Anyone who can get on this list twice is incredible. But then there's so many other great things. Like you got Damian Martin, who 68 tests he missed between January 1994 and March 2000. Like, made his test debut in 1992.
Did he? So
You're
who's he
good. I
playing
say
for?
been playing for
He's been
years
playing for 13 years. In
before
2005.
2005, and he still hadn't quite nailed down his place in England.
That doesn't that just talk about how good that Aussie team was?
How
As
good they were.
it's in
Chris
the
Rogers, he's on the list as well.
yeah.
Chrissy Rogers, 62
Could easily
tests.
have played in 05.
Could easily have played in 05. But yeah, I think it's not my newfound definite favourite, but it's just as with any good cricketing record page, you can just get lost in it, can't
There's
you?
an awful lot of England players on here, aren't there?
There are. I was surprised. Yeah, I was surprised to see. I was looking at Plunkett, and I was thinking, could Plunkett come back again? I know he's not going to,
But
but
he's
like
probably the
he,
closest, isn't he?
yeah, the fact he's done 85, and that was between, what was that, June 2007 to June
Wasn't
2014.
yeah. So that was his peak as well. That was between the ages of like 22 and 29, wasn't it?
And do you remember there was talk of him getting called up for the Ashes when Stokes was banned? And it's like, right, we do need someone with a bit of,
Yeah.
we do need something
We just
different.
went
So,
down
yeah,
that
we
rabbit hole of we need just someone who does a thing. Like it's been
Yeah.
previously, we need someone tall or someone
Yeah.
fast or someone left. It doesn't matter who they are.
Someone
Yeah,
built,
someone big. Yeah,
basically.
someone with big shoulders. Like it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who they are. They just need to be able to do this one specific thing, and we get obsessed with it, and it
Exactly.
exclusively fails.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Tremlett, yeah, it worked once with Tremlett, didn't it?
Yeah, but the
And
one
then
time, they went all in on people being tall was when they called up Finn, Tremlett, and Boyd Rankin, and we lost 5-0.
was that by the end of that one when Foyd was on Finn was unselectable.
Finn was unselectable.
Boy Rankin was already looking into how he could play for Ireland.
Yeah.
And Tremlett was just built shit, built like a brick shit house.
Yeah, Tremlett was benching about
Gone
500
else,
kilos.
gone elsewhere. So yeah, great page that. I'm not sure if I mentioned it already, but Pat Cummins is on that list as well.
Yeah, that was
Debuted
another
in
thing I was looking at.
2011. Debuted in 2011.
Maybe 17 or 18. It's mad that he's on this list and he's still only, what is he, 26, 27?
So let's see exactly. Should we just put that one to bed? He is, your good friend is 27. Yeah,
Yeah,
only 27.
and he's already missed 64 tests on the bounce.
What a page! Right,
Yeah.
let's move on, Ross. We will come back to that page. We'll come back to it again at some stage. Should we do a nod to 713?
Always. Do you know what I was
Always.
thinking? Have we had any debuts this summer?
Nope.
It's
No.
getting
No. No. We haven't, and
and there's
there
not
was
going to be
a,
any now that Dan Lawrence has left the
well,
bubble.
Ollie Robinson is still there, isn't he?
That's
I mean,
true.
that's the only potential. So, I mean, yeah, first things first, good week, bad week. Let's say 2 or 3 weeks since we last did a pod. Has it been good or has it been bad in our quest for 713? Let's be honest, we had a bit of a wobble, didn't we?
We've had a massive. There's two things. The previous kind of chief variable has been: are we going to get the debuts in quick enough?
Yeah.
The variable was switched to: is Jimmy going to be playing next summer?
Yeah.
I know that still is. Are we going to get them in quick enough? But it's now on Jimmy. Well, it
Yeah.
seems to have
Yeah.
switched to Jimmy's performances, isn't it? Rather
Yeah.
than.
Well, it kind of got to the point where it was like, when will 713 happen with Jimmy?
Now
To
it's, are we going to get it?
and yeah, and we don't really need to kind of entertain the fact he might not get there, because obviously he will, till a couple of Sundays ago, and we're like, is Jimmy about to retire in a couple of hours?
Yeah. And it turns out that
And
was all nonsense.
yeah, so I think that was just Stokes going to New Zealand. So as we said, we had a wobble. Jimmy had a bit of a wobble, but then Jimmy had a bit of a broad moment, didn't he? He did a press conference and was like, look, I want to be picked, I want to play again. So I think I'd say, personally, I feel that we're a little bit, if we've got one of those swingometers, I'm not sure exactly where we are on it, but we're a little bit down on where we were the last time.
Yeah,
Are we above 50?
we're not quite at a hung parliament, but we are
No.
facing up to a much smaller majority than we thought we were.
Yeah. And we're gonna battle on. So I mean, on the positives are that Jimmy bounced back with wickets this week, in the second test. Well, when there was play, against Pakistan. Another positive is Ollie Robinson is in the fold, so we are actively looking at handing out new caps.
Here's a question. Is Ollie Robinson a positive or is he a potential derailer?
I think he's a
If he comes in and
positive.
does really well,
Yeah.
he is meant to be Jimmy Part Deux, no? Have
Yeah,
you seen his first
yeah.
class record over the last couple of years?
I'm not sure if I've specifically seen it. I've just seen other people say how great it
It's
is, and
ridiculous.
I've taken them at their word. So is it as great as everyone says?
It's 140 odd wickets at 19.
That's not bad, is it?
That's quite good.
It's not
But
bad, not bad at all.
there are, I mean, you often get these records kind of floating around the county championship, don't you? And it's just textbook kind of wobble seam, 75 miles an hour, Darren Stevens style.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a lot of wickets.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Let me tell you, I think a positive in the road to 713, and we probably could spin this as a bit of a negative as well, but I'm definitely spinning it as a positive, is Stuart Broad's return to form with the bat.
Okay.
Because there was a, you know, for the last
all
two or
rounder
three
Stuart
years,
Broad.
It's all rounder Stuart Broad, exactly. Because now, even if he's batting at 10, it's like, fine, our batting does go all the way to 10. Whereas when you had Jimmy and Broad in the same team, both being awful at batting, then there was a bit more of an argument to
pick a bowler who could bat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing Broad's ridiculous resurgence with the bat as a very positive thing for 713. Are we buying that?
No, not really, but we can go with it.
No.
I do sort of get it. I do think that with your Besses, your Wokes, your Archers, Jimmy and Broadie's batting is going to be rendered largely irrelevant.
Yeah.
I'd be more concerned about the fact that Broad's taking his wickets at 12, and that's going to put the spanner in the works of a few debuts.
Yeah.
But also, I think bowlers probably, and this is using 713 as a kind of proxy to talk about the rest of the selection. I think we know broadly who our seam attack is going to comprise over the next couple of years, don't we? See it. Like maybe Sack Mahmood, Ollie Robinson, we've talked about, maybe those two will come in, but we're not going to see swathes of debuts in the seam attack, are we?
No.
It's going to come
in a word.
It's going to come in the batting department.
But even then, there's not a huge number of spots up for grabs at the moment, are there?
No. Which is weird because we're not very good. But also,
yeah,
who
we're
are you
not
dropping?
You're right. We're not very good, but we're better than we were. So it is going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And I think what we really need is, you know, the way that the Aussies are coming over for a few ODIs, very good, unscheduled, fine. You know, didn't want you here, but welcome.
Yeah.
Definitely should call ahead. Could we just get a few random test series chucked in as well?
Where are we going next?
We're meant to be going to India and Sri Lanka, because we've already missed Sri Lanka.
And is that
that's only two
Sri
tests. Yeah, so that'll only be two tests in Sri Lanka. And then India, I think, is a five test series, which is good because that really will, yeah, chuck in some Delhi belly, chuck in some players hating it.
Yeah.
That could help.
Yep. Chuck in chronic inability to play spin.
Yep. Then we're there. And here's another name that we might, you know, talking about potential debuts, George Garton. We wouldn't be adverse to seeing him getting a call up at some point.
Why is that?
Because he's just his left arm.
He's
rapid. He took 9 wickets. Got Cook out in both innings.
Lovely.
This week in Bob Willis Trophy, and he's got that kind of explosive when he bowls. His legs just go effing everywhere.
Oh yeah, in a good way, or in a kind of Mark Wood is about to fall over, kind of might get some
no,
great
in a
shots
good,
in midair.
In a good way. No, absolutely, in a good way, because I did think the same thing. Well, first of all, I thought, is this a Steve Finn-esque, he's going to knock over the bale?
Yeah.
Or is he going to like end up on the floor? But he doesn't seem to. But I think it's more, you'll just get a ridiculous camera shot every time.
Nice.
Of him everywhere. So yeah, that's another one. So that does that give us a nice segue to the Bob Willis Trophy?
It can if you want it to.
Yeah, let's do that. How much of it have you been following?
I've been following a fair amount of it this week. There's been a lot going on, isn't there? Although it's obviously rained a lot, which has put pay to a lot.
Always
of
a
it.
Shame.
Mainly,
Always a shame.
The main thing I've been trying to follow is how Warwickshire managed to get a draw.
Brilliant, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant.
Managed to get a draw against Somerset despite being on the verge of innings and 50-odd-ish run defeat
from day one
from the minute they got bowled out for 121. on day one and then conceded. And we love a lower order 100.
Oh yeah,
Jamie
mate,
Overton
this was a proper one.
This was a proper one. Have you seen any of it?
Yeah, I've seen some of the clips on Twitter.
It's absolutely brilliantly no holds barred, unadulterated swinging from the hip, and nothing else.
Yeah,
it's brilliant from Jamie Overton, we should say, rather than just talking about it as if everyone's been watching it all week.
Exactly.
Like
and wasn't it the Warwickshire bowler started off by trying to impersonate Jamie Overton's follow through, and
yeah,
then
I think it was
Hannon Dolby. I definitely saw this on Twitter. So he kind of started off by just kind of bowling down the down his follow through, and just kind of slightly impersonating Jamie Overton, and then Overton just teed off, as you said, and went whack-a-ta all the way to 120
from number 10 as well.
From number 10, alongside Stephen Davies, wasn't it?
Nice to see. Always nice to see Stephen Davies score runs. A, because they're always beautiful runs.
Yeah.
And B, because it reminds me that it's a miracle that he never played a test match.
Well, he was part of the England squad in 2010-11, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then he obviously came out and hasn't been picked since.
Which
is probably coincidence.
Probably a coincidence. Who else was in that England squad who didn't play?
10-11. Are you asking me because you know, or are you asking me to name some?
No, I think I know at least one.
There must have been a spinner who didn't play. Monty not play? Oh no, Monty
was definitely didn't play. I'm not sure if he was there. The one I was going to say was Owen Morgan.
Yeah, you're right, because he pops up in the dressing room in
the Edge
documentary, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yep. He was there. So yeah, but I did particularly enjoy that Warwickshire Somerset game.
Yeah, lovely.
And Somerset, who have looked ridiculously good throughout the Bob Willis Trophy.
Must be so annoying. It's a bit like PSG. PSG are probably, or PSG are in with a good chance of winning the Champions League the first time ever that no one cares about the Champions League.
Yeah,
Somerset are going to win their first. County Championship ever on the one
it's
year
not,
that it's not the
not
County
even
Championship.
The County Championship. It's just brilliant, isn't it? It's
perfect. Just think of someone else who played in that Ashes 10-11 squad, or who didn't play in that Ashes 10-11 but was in the squad.
Shahzad, was he?
Yeah. One of the
never seen again.
never seen again. Came on, bowled brilliantly. Again, was an example of someone getting picked for doing one particular thing, which was being he did two particular things that we both...
Was he skiddy?
Skiddy, yeah. Exactly that. And he was quick.
Yeah.
And he's retired, I presume, with a test average of 15.75.
From one test?
From one test, yeah.
From one test. Good old Ashmel. Any other Bob Willis Trophy bits that stood out for you?
Let's talk about something that until today I have always thought was funny, but never really understood the point of.
Oh.
Got
to hear this.
Declaration bowling.
Declaration bowling. Yes, please.
I've never ever been able to work out why it was a thing. By now,
until
kind
today.
Until today. I sort of vaguely understood it in a county championship context where you're trying to set up a win, but every so often it appears in a test match and you just think, why? Why is this happening?
Yeah.
But the declaration bowling in the Durham versus Leicestershire match today is fantastic. It's literally really, it's complete pies coming down from a height, head height, full tosses, from spinners barely running in, just kind of standing and chucking it. The wicket keeping, if you haven't seen it, is incredible.
Wicketkeeper and slips just look so uninterested.
The wicketkeeper is literally stood there just wandering around with his hands behind his back. Every so often there's just a notional kind of move towards the ball. But the fact that it's kind of like if you've been told to go and do your homework.
Yeah. and have no intention of doing it.
There's absolutely no intention of doing it, but he's just gone and sat in his room. And then, but what the best bit is, Hasanuzzad, the Leicestershire opener, who I don't think bowls a huge amount. I think he's got one first class wicket out of absolutely nowhere. Bowled an absolutely banging googly.
And just for the record, he was meant to be bowling pies.
For the record, I'm sure he was only given a go because he was meant to be bowling pies. I'm sure that's the only reason he was bowling.
Yeah.
And he bowls an absolutely banging googly to bowl Brydon Carse, who's the lad that
Yeah.
got called up into the 55 man, one of the mega
One of the
squads,
55.
or Cambat.
Yeah.
Cambat. So they bowled out the number 10, which kind of prevented Durham being able to score a half decent kind of chasing total. So Durham got themselves up to
291.
200, 291 for eight or something.
Yeah.
And then it rained. So it was all a waste of time anyway.
So it didn't really go anywhere. But I think
No.
the thing which I did like about it was that they basically did what Pakistan and England should have done a day
Yeah.
earlier.
Yeah, well, this is the interesting thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That actually setting up a result is never a thing in test matches because series wins were too important, or
Yeah.
rather series not losses were too important. But now with your good friend the Test Championship,
Very good friend. Yeah,
you've
absolutely.
40, I think we've got 40 points up for grabs
Absolutely.
in this series per test match. So really could have done with setting up a result.
Absolutely. And it goes back to the whole, we've talked about on previous pods, Michael Clarke, Buff Lehman, was it winning to lose
Yeah,
or
losing to win.
losing to win?
That would make more sense.
Would make more sense. Didn't quite sound right when I said it, but I knew you knew where I was coming from. So that's exactly what we want to see more of. And they are saying that the fact that the Bob Willis Trophy is you've basically got to win four out of five of your games to have a chance of getting to the final.
Yeah.
So it just made perfect sense. Durham have lost their first two, hadn't they?
Yeah.
And so they're like, right, we've got to do something to try and win, or else we are just done.
That's your summer over.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that was great to see. Any other lovely bits from the Bob Willis Trophy that you
Not
need
a
to
huge amount going on. Dav Milan scored a big 100, which was nice
double
to
ton,
see.
doubled up. Yeah, absolutely. We had a hat trick in Hampshire against Surrey.
Yeah.
Surrey being rolled over for 74.
That's always nice to see.
Leading by
I
an
actually like
innings.
Surrey, but it's just nice to see.
Innings and 52 runs. And have you seen the clip of Fuller's hat trick?
I have, but is this the one that was at Arundel?
Yeah, it's Arundel. I think that's
Yeah.
my whole point. Is it because it's at Arundel, it just looks like it's in the
It
park.
looks like it's in the park and it's from a kind of
With
really, really wide angle. It's not quite
yeah,
square.
yeah, yeah,
It's
yeah.
kind of a
And you
it's over kind of cow corner.
Yes, and so you can't really appreciate how much of a straight one Morning Morkel has just
It's
shouldered
just
arms
absolutely
to,
missed, yeah.
and then played them.
I like that there's all this effort to stream county cricket, which is brilliant, but it's still being done in the most cricket way possible,
Yeah.
which is just to be a bit village and a bit useless and a bit like it's being done by the council.
Yeah.
And it's kind of
On a bank holiday.
on a bank holiday, yeah. But yeah, that was kind of it, I think.
Yeah, but
Really,
we
just no
like it,
really
don't
good
we?
cricket, just really funny stuff.
But we do like it. We like the trophy.
Big
We
fan of
like
the
the
trophy.
tournament.
I think what we're
Yeah.
learning from COVID is that sport is better when you have to try and cram it in.
Yeah.
Having Premier League games every night of the week, better. Having Champions League games, A, every night of the week, and B, one-off semi-finals,
One leg, absolutely. Yep, all for that.
miles better. County Championship, three groups.
Yep.
Shorter kind of
Short and sweet, but you've got
short
to
and
try and
sweet,
win.
yeah. Got to declare after 120 overs, stops it being
Yep.
boring.
Yep.
Mixing up the leagues.
Yep.
or the divisions as they're called. So it makes so much sense. It makes so much more sense to have three divisions of six. Is that right? Three divisions of six? Yeah. Rather than two of nine,
It wasn't
because
even 2 of 9, was it? It wasn't, and they switched to 12 and 8 or
oh,
something. Not,
that's
or
right.
that'd
Yeah.
be 20. That'd be 20.
But yeah, it was
10 and 8.
8 and 10. Yeah.
Yeah, which is mad. Which is mad.
Because then you don't get that gap was getting so much bigger, wasn't it, between Division One and Division Two. So hopefully we've got some those traditionally kind of useless bottom of the table teams like your Derbyshires that won their first two games.
Yep. Suddenly they're in the box
Suddenly,
seat.
suddenly in the box seat, yeah, and you're getting more players playing against the way it kind of geographically works out is that you've got more players playing against higher quality opposition more of the time. There's no kind of region where you've just got a kind of like a waste of space league where it's kind of the talent is kind of reasonably well apportioned across the country. Brilliant. It's much better. And it gets more quickly to a meaningful final. And cricket is
Yes.
at its best when there's more on the line in a final. Cricket lends itself to a kind of crescendo, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And also, I just love the fact it's been coming thick and fast. Like, okay, every team is playing on this day. Every team's for that next round of fixtures, next round of fixtures.
Yeah.
And it's not like just some random game starting on a Tuesday and another one on a Thursday. And the thing to remember is this is all without the test players
Yeah,
involved.
and the
Like this,
overseas players.
and the overseas players, yeah. Like, imagine if it was this, but with like 100 better players
Yeah, exactly.
involved. Maybe not 100, maybe 50. But yeah, it's like you've got a decent blueprint here.
It's eradicated, and I know this is to come, but it's eradicated. Have you like, let's take ourselves as top tier cricket fans who pay attention to when cricket's going on. Have you ever been
Absolutely.
able to cast eye and say, this team is playing this lot then? Like, no one can ever quite get their hand around the
No.
entire fixture list.
No.
This eradicates that. You could quite
Yeah.
easily slot the T20 blast into this. You could quite easily slot the ODI, not the ODI, the Royal London or whatever it's called at the moment, into that. Then you've got the 100 when it comes. Just giving it this structure makes it so much easier to give everything a window and just make everything a bit more manageable for the fans.
Absolutely. And it's even like a casual county cricket fan, which lots of cricket fans are, let's say, or lots of cricket fans aren't even a casual county cricket fan.
Yeah.
It's like it's so much better that you can look on the BBC website and see 10 game, 9 games all going on at the same time and be like, right, okay, that one's really good at the moment. I'll tune into that one. As opposed to there's 3 games on, they're all petering out to a draw. Why bother?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so
The game we
I've
haven't,
enjoyed it.
the only game we should probably touch on a little bit more, I don't know how much you pay attention to it, was Essex Sussex, which was an absolute screamer.
Absolutely, that one really did. I mean, prime example.
Yeah.
Half four this afternoon. I was like, okay, which game shall I stick on? Which shall I listen to? And that went off the charts. That one.
Yeah. Talk us through it. What happened?
So Alistair Cook got out. To George Garton again. I think so. Essex were requiring 197 to win,
196, but
196 was it,
fine.
to win, and they got to 44. Then Cook went, then Brown went 49 for two, and they were generally always the wickets were falling at a regular interval.
With
With
regular
regular
interval.
interval, that's not
Yeah.
regularly. Yeah, let's go regularly. But then it got to 172 for five, and then your good friend, it was Mitchell Claydon,
Yeah.
got 2 wickets in an over, 2 wickets in 3 balls, and suddenly, Essex went from 172 for five to 172 for seven, and they were shitting themselves. And it was suddenly got very exciting because they still required 26, 27 runs, and then you had 3 wickets left. But as we generally learn from. I mean, and I hold my hands up. I've not followed county cricket all that well over recent years, but this year and last year, getting far more into it. Essex just generally win, don't they?
Yeah,
Irrespective of what's
forgotten
happening.
how to lose.
Yeah, the complete opposite to Nottinghamshire.
Yeah. Who've forgotten how to win? Did someone say they haven't won a game in 3 years?
It's at least two seasons.
Yeah. It's
And lots.
nice to see Mitchell Clayden recovering from having officially the worst week ever last week against his old club, which I don't think we've touched on.
What did he do?
This was Kent Sussex last week with Leaning and Cox.
Ah, yes. Yes.
And their 430 odd run partnership.
Was it Leaning or Cox who then wasn't allowed to play?
That
See,
was
posed for a
Cox.
selfie. That's Cox.
Cox went straight out of the ground, having scored 238 not out, and took a photo with some kids and wasn't allowed to play this week.
Quite right.
But Claydon took the one wicket, and
Yes.
then having been in the field for, well, 120 overs, 530 runs. Sussex would probably bowl out in 46 overs to lose by an innings and 25 runs against his former club.
And wasn't there some stat whereby it was, wasn't it like one of the worst performances from a county ever?
Yeah, I think it
So to
was.
only take one wicket.
Yeah, I think it's the something like the first time in post-war era that a team has won despite only a team has won only losing one wicket in the process.
Perfect. Perfect. And that was all without Joe Denley in their team, wasn't it?
All without Joe Denley. And actually, Jack Leaning probably wouldn't have played and batted three had Joe Denley been playing.
Yeah.
But aren't we glad he did?
No, look at that. Oh, that was ridiculous, ridiculous win. Right, we're gonna take a break. We did say we were gonna definitely just do two short and sharp, Mitch Johnson-esque, Mark Wood-esque parts. What was the other one that you said? Was it should be Jofra Archer?
Yeah, but isn't.
But we've basically done a Jofra Archer and we've bowled for 37 minutes. He's still got his jumper on. He's tired. People aren't happy. So let's have a break. Then we'll come back with a very quick, sharp bit at the end. Excellent. We'll speak to you
Sweet,
soon.
in a bit.
Bye. Couple of gremlins in the system there, weren't there, Terence?
More than a couple, yeah.
But we got there. We got there in the end. So we've got a. Have you got an over that was to bring to the party?
I have, yeah.
Maybe before we get there, and hopefully this won't spoil the over that was. Have you seen that the Cricket Monthly on Crick Info are doing a countdown of the balls of the century?
Already know what the ball of the century is, so it's kind of, I
Well,
mean,
but they didn't.
it's literally called the ball of the century.
So, but I
Or
think
is
that was that century. So this is this century.
good, very good
So,
point. Good gag though,
good
if it was
gag.
obviously with the right century.
Exactly. But it's then they're also doing from 20 and down. So, we've only got to 17 so far.
Should have done 21. Should have done from 21, really. But
Should have done. Yeah.
so I've
But they
done it.
haven't. But we've already had. So the last two, number 18, Harmeter, Michael Clarke, 2005 Ashes, Edgbaston,
They reckon.
slower
Hold on.
ball.
They reckon. Hold on. They reckon there's 17 balls better than that one,
I
or is that
mean,
number
but
20?
that was 18. But bear in mind that number 17, and this ball is kind of like ridiculously good. So again, I think the whole point is that you keep saying that after each one. Number 17 is Mitchell Starc to James Vince. Which I
Was
think
good, wasn't it?
was, yeah, which I think was that in Perth. And undoubtedly, they're going to have Ryan Harris's ball to Alistair Cook, which may have been at Perth as well, in 2014,
Same, yeah.
which is kind of, by all accounts, just a ridiculous ball. So, anyway, well worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah,
And that will definitely,
let's make
that
sure
will.
that gets a little bit more coverage.
Defo, absolutely. So what have you got, Terence? Shall I give you the floor?
Yeah, give me the floor. Right. I am taking you back in time to
Oh.
Liverpool just won the league.
Okay. This time or last
Is the
time?
number one.
Sorry, you just cut out. What was number one?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I heard you then. But can we begin again with Liverpool have just won the league,
Liverpool just won the league, which is topical.
which is topical. Yeah.
This is the number one.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Did my phone ring?
No.
Did not my phone just rang halfway through me playing the number one?
I heard a bit of the music. Yeah, I heard this bit.
This game's just begun. I'm saying things I've never said, doing things I've never done. Yep, got it.
Yeah,
That
good.
is Head and Heart by Joel Corry.
Head and Heart. Urgh, of course it is. Yep, good band.
Tory government was in a shambles.
No, topical.
Topical. How are you getting on?
Nowhere near.
Nowhere near.
Except obviously it's a long time ago.
England were playing Pakistan, also topical.
Very topical. Is it now?
It's now, yeah, it's this
It's
test this
now.
week.
Here we go.
That's
That's number one, is it?
number one. I actually don't mind it. Yeah, it's this week. And I told you off air before we started doing this that my over that was slightly left field, but
Which is fine.
and very much not in the spirit of the over that was, given that it was literally the last over that was.
Excellent.
It's the one ball over that finished the second test between England and Pakistan,
Brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant.
which has so much of the stuff we like to see.
Yep.
It's got, we've already talked about it, some declaration bowling,
Yep.
which generally involves a part-timer who absolutely loves it. I'm thinking the last time we saw this was Cook taking a wicket with a Bob Willis impression
Yep.
against Ishant Sharma.
Ishant Sharma, yep.
And NB, let's make sure that's an over that was at some point in the near future.
Absolutely, yep.
It's at the end of it, the captain Joe Root declared whilst he was on the pitch, which is obviously something we always like to see. And
Whilst
just going
giggling.
whilst giggling, just going, oh, this is hilarious.
Yep.
He's clearly done it because Azhar Ali has waddled in with everyone expecting him to bowl leg breaks because that's all he's ever bowled before. Bowls a bit of seam up, pitches it on a length, moves it away. Just about like there's
Yep.
absolutely nowhere near it. And Joe Root goes, "Now that's it, thanks." And you could see Azhar Ali was absolutely fuming that he just had his moment in the sun cut short because there was no way Jos Buttler had an answer to that delivery.
I think Joe Root was like, there's every chance Jos Buttler could get out to this, and I don't want him to go through all that again. He's just won us the last test. No, that's it. Game over. I'm taking my ball home.
Yeah, exactly. It was also completely pointless because it was one ball and then he declared
Yeah.
for no reason. We'd had no cricket for the last 3 days, basically, and he declared after one ball. Why not set a game? There was an hour left. Why not set a game up? Why not do something?
What was there to lose?
What was there to do? It was an absolutely brilliant delivery. Like he took
Yeah.
everyone who, like you could hear in the comm box. I think it was Warner and who was it alongside him? I can't remember. Because it was Warner that went, oh, he's going to bowl a bit of leg spin, and then he wandered in and bowled absolute perfect wobble seam delivery that kind of left the batsman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've lost my train of thought, but it was brilliant.
It was, and as I say, think about the fact that Butler, what a ridiculous change of scene must be for Butler compared to the Old Trafford test, where it was just like probably every ball, this could be my last ball in Test cricket, and then he managed to basically win the game for England. To this one, where he's like he's just walking off laughing. because he's played and
Just
missed
walking up laughing because he's played and missed at an absolute
at,
part time.
to an awful bowler.
Yeah.
But yeah, brilliant. Is that the shortest over that was we've ever done in terms of number of balls?
I mean, it must be. I mean, compared to Boswell, which was the first
one. I was going
to
say, compare that to the first one from Boswell, which was 15 or 16, potentially.
Yeah. And
Which,
definitely none of them were as good as that one.
No. But they did swing a lot. He definitely did move a lot.
He definitely did move it a lot, didn't he?
But not off a straight and narrow. Excellent, love that. So love. Obviously, I love any overs that were. Do we have a title for it? You've always been better at headlining them than I have.
Oh, I have, haven't I? Yeah. No, I haven't.
Didn't have one. No, that's fine. And was it their captain who bowled it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yes, just brilliant.
Just taking an absolutely perfect opportunity to bowl himself in a test match, and then got cut short.
Yeah, and talking of bowlers not bowling much, hasn't Don Best just like hardly bowled or not bowled at all in the last couple
he didn't
of test
bowl,
matches?
He didn't bowl in this test, did he?
No.
He definitely didn't bowl much in the previous one. He certainly didn't get any wickets. I don't know how much he did bowl. But it's going to bring up the old do England need to play a spinner question ahead of the next test. Spoiler alert, the answer is definitely yes, they do.
But he's going to have excellent stats, isn't he? Where he's going to have played like 10 test matches, but he won't actually have bowled in 7 of them.
Yeah, exactly. He bowled a bit. He took 2 wickets in the last one.
Did he?
Yeah. Took 1 for 74 in the first innings and 1 for 40 in the second innings.
Oh, and that was when he would have taken 4 if Butler had caught them.
Butler had caught any of them, yeah.
Butler caught any of them. And final thing, here we go. Final thing. And then I think we should bid farewell. Who knew that Dom Sibley would be the run-out king?
Oh, how good is he? showed no signs of being able to do that. Lost 12 kilos and suddenly he's jaunty Sibley.
Absolutely. Showed no signs of being able to move when he was in South Africa. You know, everyone's first look at him, really, as a test player. Like, he's big, isn't he? There's a lot to him.
Yeah.
As you say, he's lost those 12 kilos. And he's just a gazelle in the field.
The one this week was such a brilliant piece of anticipation. He gave him, I know it was dreadful, wasn't he? But he gave himself so much time to throw down the stumps at the other end.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But the thing that caught me was like Butler, I think was it Burns as well? They were just pitting themselves after.
Yeah,
so
they were, yeah.
It's clear that this isn't to be expected.
Yeah, it's like got an error when Monty did anything good in the field.
Yes. Yeah, or Phil Tufnell.
Yeah.
The field of the batsman, formerly known as the fridge, and his thing. Would we say his position in the England team is now far more secure than Rory Burns?
Ooh, yeah, I think so. I think so. I think they're both pretty solid. I can't see either of them going anywhere.
No.
Just by virtue of lack of anyone else.
Yeah,
making any runs in county cricket at the top of the order, but I'd say he's definitely the. If you want to call it senior partner of the two at the moment, even though he's not really.
And Rory and Dom Sibley has just been smashing some brilliant records, which we put in the pinch here today. I'll just share a couple of them before we sign off. The beauty ones that I thoroughly enjoyed. Just getting it down to some bit of crick viz.
So this one about
Dom.
He's attacked
Dom
the
Sibley,
least
yeah, he's attacked just 12% of the deliveries bowled to him this summer, which I was quite surprised it was that high, I'll be
what
honest.
Does it attack? Does that mean played an attacking shot as opposed to leaving
I
it off a defensive
leaving.
Shot?
Yeah, I don't know quite how they do it, but they do it properly, so we'll take their word for it.
I think we get the gist of what it means, don't we?
Yeah, you get the general gist of that one. And then there was another one which was, I think, about him, just him facing just way more balls than anyone else.
Yeah.
Ever. So he's great. He's just everything. Here he is. His dismissal rate, balls faced per dismissals, of 127 this summer. The best run England batsman at home since Joe Root in 2014, which was 168.
Lovely.
Which is not bad at all. But yeah, there we are. There we are. We've pinch hitted. We've podded.
We've pinch hut.
That sounds so South African. And we've had pyrotechnics. We've had it all. And we will do it again very soon. Terence, any final thoughts from yourself?
No, mate. Looking forward to test on Friday. Let's have a chat next week.
Let's do it again. Brilliant. Speak soon, mate.
Cheers,
Take
mate. See you
care.
in a bit.
Bye
Bye.
bye. So there we have it. We hope you enjoyed the latest Pinch Hitter podcast there. We'll be back again very soon to do another one. There is no doubt about that. All that's left for us to say is if you don't already subscribe to the daily Pinch Hitter email, what on earth are you doing with your life? Please give us a follow on Twitter at @LePinchHitter. And once you're there, you'll be able to follow the link to subscribe to the daily email as well. We will see and speak to you again very, very soon.